So tonight, we're going to be covering some scripture in the book of Matthew, Matthew 25. If you'll turn there, please. Matthew 25, and we'll start at verse 14. I wanted to start out by sharing an experience that I had the other day, and it was a unique experience, kind of weird. So when you see something that's weird, you got to kind of think about it. So the place where I work is it shares the campus with an Air Force base. So sometimes I need to drive across the base, and I've got the badge privilege to do that. The other morning, before daylight, I needed to get across the base. So I started driving through there, and the speed limit's like 20. So you really have to soak it all in whether you want to or not. And you really don't want to be stopped by the MPs. I've never been stopped, but I hear it's not fun, and I've never wanted to experience it. So I stick it 20 miles an hour. And I'm coming down this hill, and I see this silhouette of a group. I get a little closer, and I go, okay, so that's interesting. And it was a group of about 7 or 8 soldiers. And they had a funny shape to them. I go, okay, get a little closer. Okay, I see what they're doing. They have 45-pound plates, like, that go on barbells over their head, and they're marching up the sidewalk, up a hill, you know, with an incline like this. And it looked like they had a pretty good ways to go. And I thought, wow, that's going to be tough. That's hard. So when I said I saw soldiers, what did you picture in your mind? Did you picture fit, athletic, hardcore soldiers? You did? That's kind of what I would picture if someone said that. Well, as I got a little closer, these were soldiers, but they looked like maybe you picked 7 or 8 people out of this group and stuck them on the sidewalk with these 45-pound weights. So a lot of the activity at that base is reserve activity, and people are not necessarily full-time soldiers. They have regular jobs, but they still have to meet certain physical criteria. So what I saw was one guy that looked pretty athletic, but he was tying his shoe with his weight beside his ankle, kind of propped up. Another young lady is shorter in stature than the rest of them, and she had the weight sitting on her head, holding it like this. And then you had a couple other folks that were still holding strong, and they were going, and one person that was hugging it close to their body. And I thought, well, I don't know how far they got to go, but I know they got to get back to somewhere, and they got to have their weights with them. And I don't think they're going to pull that off without working together. I think somebody is going to help somebody along the way. And somebody's going to have an idea that's going to help somebody else along the way. So I was thinking, well, I wonder what talents would be required to get through a situation like that. You know, how would people's talents start to come out to make sure that everybody made it back? I mean, they had some choices. There were a couple there that looked like they were handling it pretty well and probably would be just fine without the group. They could get there and back and maybe lap the group and come on back and take a rest before everybody else showed up. But I'm guessing that wasn't what the exercise was about. And oh, by the way, that's not what this exercise is about either in this journey that we're on here together in our lives and at our church. It's not about individuals achieving. It's about a ministry achieving. It's not about people showing out or people being above other people. It's about a group of people doing a work for God. So we have to think about when we're operating in a ministry and we're operating as a unit, what is it that's unique about us, that's maybe strong about us? What also is unique about us that maybe is not so strong, maybe even weak, where we can partner up, we can gather up, and we can create a strong unit that does what needs to happen for God? It's very important. I'm learning in my life as I get older and older. At one point, I thought I was strong in everything. Now, there's a couple things going on there. There's youth, and there's lack of knowledge, there's lack of wisdom. You just don't know what you don't know. And there's also arrogance, right? And I'm sure there's some other things that would explain that. But as I get older, I see, well, I wasn't as good at that as I thought I was. I've been wrong about a lot of things for a lot of years. And boy, I wish I'd have known this 15 years ago. And man, there's some other folks that do that really well that I could have learned from and I could still learn from. So as I get older, I get a little more humble about what maybe I can do and what maybe I can't do and where I need help. But unfortunately, it takes a lot of years for a lot of us to start to realize those things. But you know, when we read God's Word talks about these things that takes a lot of us a life to go figure out. So I want to just talk a little bit this evening about talents. And there's a piece of scripture over in Matthew 25 that draws out what God would have us do with our talents. Verse 14, Matthew 25. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. So here we have a wealthy man that has a lot of possessions, and he's going to go away. So he pulls in some folks that he wants to trust with his possessions, and he delivered unto them his goods. Now I would have you think about, has anything ever been entrusted to you? Has your employer ever entrusted you to take care of an issue or to serve a function? So many of us think that we're owed something from our employer. I watch this all the time where we get a certain entitlement, and we need to understand that when we're trusted to do a task or to do a job, that's a responsibility not only to that employer, but it's also a responsibility to our God, because as Christians, we're supposed to represent. There's enough crazy in the world right now for we don't need to contribute to that. I mean, we've got folks in the world who are blind enough to human value and human life to where we're running people over with cars, groups of people, and this is happening way too often. And you got to wonder what's going on in our collective psyche for this to continue to happen. We've got to not contribute to the crazy. We've got to have some responsibility about ourselves and nurture those around us. God has given us, He has trusted us something here at this church. He's entrusted us with a ministry. Jesus went away. He sent a comforter and He sent a task. And He's given us that comforter, He's given us this word, and He's given us a task to spread the gospel. He said, feed my sheep. He's got a job for us to do. And if we don't take that on, if we don't take that responsibility on, who's going to? God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us individually, but He needs His church to execute His plan. And He will execute His plan through His church. As individuals, we get to decide whether we're going to participate in that or not. And we get to decide whether we're going to bear fruit or we're going to dry up. And God would have us bear that fruit. In verse 15, it says, and unto one He gave five talents, and to another two, and to another one, and to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. So obviously here there was a division of these talents. This is pieces of money. And he handed these talents over and didn't divide them equally. So what was the determining factor of how they were divided? It says in the scripture that it was according to each's ability. Now, we don't get to decide what ability we're born with. We can go cultivate our abilities. We can go grow our abilities. We can expand ourselves. But to some extent, there's a certain amount of ability there. God understands that ability, and God loads us according to that ability. At least that's what's demonstrated here in this scripture to me. It says, then he that received five talents went and traded with the same and made another 5 talents. So if he started with 5 talents, he went and traded and did business and gained 5 talents, how many talents did we end up with? 10 talents. It happens every time, right? Every time we do this, it's 10 talents. So that's a double. That's a 100% return. That's double. That's pretty good. I don't care who you are, that's a pretty good return. And likewise, he that had received 2, he gained other 2. So started with 2, gained 2, that's what? All right, I'm just looking for some participation. I know we can do this math. I know it's late in the day. I'm just wanting to hear from you, okay? So 2 plus 2 is 4. What percentage gain is that? It's 100%. It's the same number, 100%. 2 and 2 is 4, 5 and 5 is 10, but 100% and 100% is the same. God gave according to ability. God expected the ability to be applied. In these 2 cases, the ability was applied. And in God's eyes, the same result was achieved. It's important for us to understand that. Because the one with 2 could have said, I wasn't trusted with 5. I'm going to pooch my lip out. I'm going to go kick some dirt for a little while. I'm going to spend a lot of time talking about the master, because obviously doesn't understand my value. And when I get done with that, and I might even mix a little bit of it in, I'm going to spend some time talking about the one that got 5. So all that time I'm spending in this place talking about stuff, nothing is moving but my mouth. And God's expecting my hands and feet to be moving. And He's expecting my heart to be moving towards something. Well, the servant that had 2 didn't take that approach. Took what he was given and went and did his job. Verse 18, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with him. See, here's the deal in life. And you'll always find this to be true. And I believe it's illustrated in these scriptures. There's an expectation set, and eventually there's a reckoning. I get told quite often, Randy, my expectation of you is this. I want this number to change to this number. And that's what you're going to be measured by, and that's what you're going to be judged by. And at a certain point in the year, there's going to be a reckoning for me. I will have either hit that or not. And that's the cold, hard truth in the environment that I'm in. It's just a fact. And you can hate it, love it, but if you're going to be in it, you got to deal with it. There was a reckoning right here. This master handed something over and was expecting a return. So the one that received 1 went and hid it in his money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. In verse 20, and so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and this is important, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents. This is important. These words are going to sound just like what he said to the one that had received 5 talents. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I saw 5 turn into 10, 2 turn into 4. I saw the exact same response from the master. I think God sees us that way as well. If we are diligent, with the talents that God has given us, and we diligently work toward the goal that God has set before us, that perception of those energies put in is exactly the same as the person next to you who seems to be achieving twice as much by our standards. God views it as the same. Just as the widow woman that put in the small amount into the offering plate, God saw that as a great treasure because she gave that which she had. God sees my tithe, your tithe, the other person's tithe. It's the same percentage. It's the percentage of the fruit that God has put in our household. It's the same. Whether it's $5 a week, $500 a week, $5,000 a week. In God's eyes, it's the same because it's a movement of our heart. It's a commitment of our heart. God's not short in change. He's not short in finances. He's not short in ability. He doesn't need a dime from us. He needs our heart. He needs our commitment. That's what we're showing God when we move our first fruits from the harvest that He's given us to His plate. That's what God would have us do. So in verse 24, then he which received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here is thou that thou hast that is thine. So the servant that had one talent used an excuse of fear. I was afraid I would mess it up. I was afraid that you wouldn't be happy with what I did. I didn't trust in my ability. I didn't trust in your trust in my ability. So I just hid it in the ground and I didn't do anything with it. I didn't move out on the request that you made from me, God, because well, what if I messed it up? God did not give us the spirit of fear. He would not have us be scared. If He's asked us to do something, it's within our ability to do it. He's measured our ability when He put that thing in our hand. He's measured our ability when He told us to stand up in front of people and talk. He's measured our ability when He told us to go visit someone in their home and be a blessing to them. He's measured our ability when He said, go deliver a meal to someone and show love to someone. See, we all have different talents. My wife can stand and talk with someone for minutes and hours, and she can engage with them and hear what they've got to say and really be deep in that conversation, on and on and on. And that's a gift because that connects with people. People feel valued, and it's genuine. I mean, it's real. I'm good after I've got the point. And I don't mean to be rude, and I really don't. I love people too, but I'm good after I've got the point, and I will walk away from you. I just will, because I got it. I get it. Love you. Bye. I mean, nothing wrong with that? Okay, I didn't know. I thought I had a problem. But it's just, you know, let's say it. Let's say it. Let's seal it. Let's move on. But we have to recognize that people are different. And you don't want to send me, to go do the task of someone that has that kind of mercy. Somebody that's got that kind of mercy and that kind of love needs to go do that. But if you need a quick decision made that is based on 60% information, and you don't want to feel bad about it having been made, I got it. It may be wrong, but I don't care. I did the best I could with that piece of information. It's done. I'm out. Let's move on to the next one. Any consequences that follow from it, we'll figure that out after the fact. That's also a talent. I mean, there's just so many ways that we can be unique, we can be ourselves, and we can be useful. But we can't all be one way. We can't all be one thing. And we can't look at other people and say, because you don't have this thing that I've got, because you don't do it the way I do it, you're all messed up. We can't be that way, right? Because God put us together as a unit. God describes us in His Scripture as a body. And our body has different components. And you never know how much you miss a component of your body until it gets injured or it gets weakened. I had an injury this weekend. I hit my hand with my finger with a hammer. And I did some serious damage. Not serious, okay, I'm fine. But I like a lot of sympathy when I get hurt. And a lot of attention. So, you know, but don't talk to me about it because I don't have time. I told you everything you need to know, okay? Hit my finger with a hammer, it's over. But I have noticed all week that I haven't been able to do with my left hand what I normally do. And, you know, I've never really noticed how much my index finger was helping me out throughout the week until it was injured. So, as a church body, if God had a vision for this ministry, God put us together for a reason, and if you're here, you've got a purpose in this ministry. If you were compelled to come here because something drew you here, if it was in your soul and in your heart, I don't mean if you're here curious to see what kind of trouble you can stir up. You probably don't have a purpose. I don't see anybody in here that I feel like is that way, and I'm not the judge anyway. But if you were drawn here and you feel like the Holy Spirit drew you here and this is your home, then you can be flat out sure that you have a purpose within this ministry. And that God has worked you in so that you can fulfill that purpose. Now, I don't know if it was a 5-talent purpose. I don't know if it was a 2-talent purpose or if it was a 1-talent purpose. But God expects us to return on that He's given us in this ministry. And not just in this ministry, but also in our lives. God would not have us sit on the abilities that He's given us. What good is that? So in verse 26, His Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I could at least have received mine own usury." I could have at least gotten some interest off of it. So the servant that received one said, "I was scared." The master said, "You were wicked and slothful." So the servant wanted to sell it off as, "It's your fault because you're a tough master." The master saw straight through it and said, "You're lazy. You're lazy and you're wicked." And he said in verse 28, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. Over in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, it says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask much more." The one with 10 talents, the one with 5 talents, just took on another responsibility of another talent. God said, "You were faithful over a few things, so I'm going to make you ruler over many things." God would continue to pile responsibility on those who are returning for Him. And I think it actually turns out that way in our jobs and in our churches as well. You ever heard of the 20-80 rule? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Sometimes it feels like a 10-90 rule or a 5-95 rule. It's because the folks who are willing to engage and really go after it, whether it be in the ministry, it be in our employment, the need is still there. The 100% need is still there. So that responsibility shifts over to fewer and fewer people. What's happening, what's potentially happening here is that servant that took on the 5 talents is getting more and more responsibility, but is also getting more and more blessing out of that responsibility. If we're going to be slothful, or if we're going to be wicked and not take on the responsibility and the role that we've been given, then that's our blessing going to someone else. This servant that received one could have returned two and could have been trusted with greater things and maybe received another talent to have 3 and maybe made 6 and then 12, and it goes up from there. But God would have us demonstrate that we value the thing that we've been given, the gift that we've been given. You can think of talents as possessions. You can think of talents as energy. We can think of talents as time. We can think of talents as literal talents. If God's giving you the talent of prayer and you can really get through on someone's behalf, then you ought to be praying. If God's giving you the talent to discern His Word and to share, then you ought to be discerning His Word and sharing. If God's giving you the talent to minister to people and to have mercy on people and show them grace, then you ought to be getting in situations where you can minister to people, have mercy on them, and show them grace. If you can be a friend, if you've got the gift of being a friend, and you don't walk off from people when they're talking, then God may have you go visit people and may have you go spend time with people and connect with people. And to love people. And if God's giving you the ability to make a decision, then maybe you should be in a position where you're helping make decisions. This is what God would have us, I believe, take from this Scripture. We've got a really large ministry here. And it's growing. It's growing that way, it's growing that way. On Sunday morning, it's very packed. And it's going to be important that the nucleus of the church understand they have a role to keep this ministry going. And we want that nucleus. We don't want to reject new people into that nucleus. We want that nucleus to expand. Because the larger that expands, the greater the energy that's created from it. The greater the energy that's created from it, the greater work we can do on God's behalf. The greater God will get the glory. We don't need any glory. That's for God. So, verse 29, "For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall it be taken away, that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God has an expectation for us. So I want to take us over, and you can turn if you want. It's going to be the last place I go. Psalms 1, there's a piece of Scripture there that really means a lot to me, and I just want to share it tonight. I know you've heard it before. Because I got to tell you, I look around, and I see people that aren't following God's principles appear to prosper. And the thing about the view of that is oftentimes it's a snapshot in a moment, and you think, well, why am I doing what I'm doing when I could just do what that person's doing, I could have what they have and do and have their situation. But if you get closer and closer to that person's situation, you may learn that it's not all as it appears. The truth is, there is no prosperity outside of God's path. There is no prosperity outside of God's Word. There is no prosperity, no true prosperity, without following God's way. And that's illustrated here in Psalms 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." People will tell you anything. People will give you advice. They will get in your head, get you thinking down a path that chips away at your marriage, chips away at your commitment to things. You cannot take counsel from the ungodly. And it's not that they're trying to damage you necessarily. Human nature is, if I'm low, if I'm not doing well, if my situation is messed up, then I feel a little better when the people around me are not doing well also. So they can't help it. And the truth is, they don't know what to tell you to do. They don't have the advice to give. How can someone that hasn't felt peace guide you to get peace? How can someone that has no hope help you find hope? How can someone that can't settle down unless it's in the bottom of a bottle help you with your anxiety? The truth is, they can't. They can't even help themselves. And I'm not trying to be high and mighty. I'm just saying, the Scripture says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what that means is, as we're making decisions and as we're navigating our life, does our decision line up with what God would have us do? Is the path we're on, does it line up with what God would expect from us? Does it line up with the talent that God's given us and the will that God's put in our heart? Is it the place we're supposed to be? Remember, Elijah could only get fed by the ravens in one spot in this world. God said, go sit by the brook Cherith. The delivery was happening there. Anywhere else he had gone, he would have missed that sustenance and had to figure it out for himself. I don't want to figure it out for myself. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All I'm asking for tonight, and I'm applying to myself as well, is to let's examine ourselves. Let's think about the ministry that we have here at Liberty. Let's think about the talents that God has given us. And let's think about whether we're putting in our energy to apply those talents. The answer may be a very loud yes. It may be a quiet, well, I think so. Or you may know good and well it's not the case. And I would just recommend that we find our place to where our talents are being applied. Thank you for your attention.